You're listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod with Kyle Rush, Ben Taylor, and Nate Pass.
What's up, everybody? We're back again. It's episode 244 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. It's Kyle and Ben, and we're ready to talk about some golf rules, some good rules, some bad rules, some rules changes, and we're going to talk some money. Some live golf money, put it in perspective what these guys earn this year and how absolutely insane it is. But before we get that, we're going to talk about a way that you can earn some insane money, and that is through
gambling
on responsibly on Bet Online, the number one sports betting website in the world,
or irresponsibly, like I do.
Yes, absolutely. Sign up today on your very first deposit. You can use this coupon code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, and get a 50% bonus. You give them $100, they're going to give you $50 back to play with. On top of that, it's incredible. It's then you can just go win some, use your free money. Here's what you can do. I don't know. I got to go back and look exactly how you do it, but go ahead and take, if you get the $50 bonus, bet 25 one way, 25 the other, and guarantee yourself $25. I mean, go ahead and take advantage of that.
Kyle's playing the system.
Go ahead and take advantage of that free play and then go win you some money with the rest. It's a ton of fun. They got an online casino. They got all kind of live lines, current lines, future lines, all kind of stuff. So
college basketball is back, so you can now bet on basketball, college basketball.
Absolutely is back. So and there's dadgum basketball games every single night. So get ready for it.
Listen, first of the season, hit the over on all of those games. Take the home team because all these home teams are going to be hosting no names, and they're going to be hanging up 115 on them. So
home
do
overs.
That now. Yes, home overs.
Love it. Bet Online is where the game starts. Ben.
Yes. Yes, sir.
The USGA
breaking my house.
The USGA and the RNA just released their rules and updates that are coming for 2023. And there's been a lot of talk about it, and it's been a while since they've had sort of a overhaul. And I'm sorry, this is not the overhaul that they had the last go around, but there was some updates that I think are going to be very significant moving forward. Mm-hmm. So, Ben, you've sort of dug through this and picked out the biggest talking points. So I'm gonna let you go, and then we'll just kind of comment on it.
The biggest two is probably going to be one that we have harped on. The biggest one by far is the one we have harped on at least once a month doing a show.
It's a tough day,
And that is how stupid it is that a guy is DQ'd, or girl, if it's LPGA Tour, is DQ'd from the tournament for not signing their card. Mm. Especially when we've talked about it, as soon as they walk into the media tent, or when they walk in the tent, people are pulling at them left and right to go do this and do that and do this interview and sign this for this person and go meet this sponsor and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes they just forget about it. I mean, Grayson talked about it. We've talked about how he walked out, forgotten, and had to go back in there and sign it because he was able to do that. So they're going to do away with that. Now, there's a caveat. This is based on the tournament saying whether they want to make it a rule or not. They're allowing tournaments to put that rule into place where it is just a two-stroke penalty if they do not sign the card. So some tournaments that we watch, I got a feeling somewhere like the Masters will keep the old rules just because they are big on tradition. And they'll probably DQ you if you don't sign your card at Augusta. But the Rocket Mortgage Challenge, it's going to be a two-stroke penalty if the guy walks out.
What is the point of having a rule if places can just choose not to enforce it?
I said that when I was reading this article. I was like, well, this is stupid. So this is basically, they're just saying it's okay for local places to do
they're
local
passing
rules
the
now. Yeah. They don't, you know, they're like, if you guys want to be the dicks that DQ somebody, that's fine.
It's on you.
If you don't, then give them a two-stroke penalty.
That's actually kind of smart from the USGA. They're like, listen, we're going to take the onus off of us and put it on the tournaments. But, I mean, it's a good step in the right direction because I hate rules that you don't gain anything from. I know this is not a a rule that Nate's going to be very happy about. He's very
Right.
traditionalist, and he likes, you know, damn it, go in and sign your card. And you know what? There is something. There's a little bit something to that. But when millions of dollars and stuff is on the line, and there is a chance that a gotcha rule could screw your future up when it didn't have anything to do with your play on the course, and you earned what you earned on the course, and we have like scorers that watch you play and score
That's the
your
thing.
card for it, and like we all saw what you shot, and just because you didn't go do a you had a clerical issue, you could lose money, lose status. That is so dumb. Like, it makes me want to fight people.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me want to go fight the people that would want to enforce that.
And see,
Because
he's not here to defend himself, but like you said, Nate, you know, it's like we told him before, we said, look, Nate, this rule was implemented before they had the technology that they do today. So that's
sure.
the whole reason the rule was around, to hold people accountable. So that way, if they put their name to it, but now you can't fudge on the scores. You can't lie. There's a freaking camera on every hole. There's an official score that goes with you. They pay those, or they got those volunteer people that walk with the damn pole that's got the score on it that they change it out every
Hell,
single
at the
time.
Forum Tour, we had volunteers at every three holes sitting
Yeah.
there asking you, all three players, when they come off, what'd you have on the last three holes? And you had to tell them, boom, boom, boom. So if you're, I mean, there's people, like, we know what you shot as you go through the course. Like,
Right.
it's I don't know.
So it was just an archaic rule. So USGA not changing the rule, they're just bending it a little bit and saying, hey, you
DQ
know,
was absurd.
DQ
So,
was absurd.
Two
And,
stroke penalty is it can be just as bad, but at least you have a chance to shoot. You got a chance, unless it happens in the second round and those two strokes put you over the cut. You typically are going to have a chance to play your way.
Well, like that
Play your way out
nightmare,
of it.
which granted, you gotta have your wits about you when you, with the guy that was looking to qualify and he had qualified and didn't sign his card. And then they called him later that night and they were like, hey, you didn't sign your card. And they DQ'd him. And so he ended up not getting his tour card that year and had to go back through. Like, now it's going to be a two stroke penalty. So he would have just dropped two strokes overnight and started out two shots behind where he ended the day before.
If
if
you're
they,
if you're a
if
guy,
they adopt that rule.
Let me ask you this. Let's say you are, I know you're probably petty like me, so I may know the answer to this. If you're a guy who that costs them big time, and now you see that it only costs you two strokes, how do you feel about it?
I'm pissed. I'm totally pissed.
You're like,
if I'm
nah,
that,
screw
if
it.
I'm that guy that we were just talking about, I am right now. I'm calling, and maybe that's why the USGA said we're going to let that be in the hands of the tournaments, because we don't need all these guys that have DQ'd from these tournaments calling us up and being like, oh, now you changed the rule. Okay, cool. That's awesome. It
Yeah.
only cost me $3 million. Appreciate that. Mighty
It
nice
only
of
cost me my career.
Yeah. Now I'm a club pro in Florence, Alabama, instead of
being on tour. I mean,
yeah. So,
it
I
seems
mean,
like it could open yourself up for changing stuff like that. It seems like it could open yourself up for a lot of, you know, whatever. But at the same time, I think it makes the game better.
But we do admit it was a dumb rule to start with. It just, it's, DQ is just too, is too steep. That's just
yeah.
too steep for, so something needed to be done. I get they need to be penalized because they're doing something. They're breaking a rule. They're not completing their round. I get that. But the fact that they can play three rounds of golf and on the fourth round, they get shoved to the media tent, completely forget to sign their card because they just, I don't know, finished top 10 for the first time in their career and they get DQ'd. It's like, no, that's BS, man. I mean,
huge, hugely.
Yeah, that's a bad thing. The other one is one that we talked about, and I like how they say that they are making some exceptions and some loose changes or something like that, what they're saying. If a ball moves due to natural forces, we saw this a couple of times. One was a couple of years ago. You brought up an example when we were talking pre-show. One was a couple of years ago. The biggest one was probably Ricky Fowler, who went on to win the tournament, the Waste Management Open that year. But he hit on that par five on number 15, because it's right before 16, the crazy hole. On 15 on that par five, he flew the green and went in the water. When you do that, you're allowed to drop on that back side, which is a steep bank. He dropped his ball. Ball was set. He goes up to the green to read the green. He comes back and his ball's gone. And that's a two-stroke penalty. So They are now doing away with that. You will not be penalized if a natural forces move your ball. If your ball,
like gravity,
yeah, like gravity or the wind
or
moves
wind.
It like on the green or something like that, you can replace it. And the biggest thing is stuff like that that happened with him, like it rolling back in a hazard. The one example you used was the guy that marked his ball and it did the wind it blow his ball or blow the mark?
It blew off the mark. Like
yeah.
It was marked, but the ball was still down. He walked away and it rolled off the mark.
And so,
like, we knew exactly where to go back and place the ball, and he still got a 2-stroke penalty.
Yeah. And so
that is the dumbest thing ever.
That is. That's totally stupid. So that's going to go away. So we won't see that move, which I think is a good thing. I don't think that any player is going to call up and bitch about that. I think, like you said, some people may call and bitch about something.
You know what this is? You know what that is, Ben?
What's that, buddy?
You know what it's not? It's not lazy leadership, because you have to make a judgment call. You actually have to make a tough call instead of just having this blanket rule that says if your ball ever moves, you have to give somebody. No, you're like, no, look, here, intent matters. What happens in the situation matters. And when you're not doing something, when there's something out of your control that causes your ball to move that you didn't cause, there is no way ever you should have ever been penalized. But definitely, moving the rule, changing the rule, that is big, because that is a win for common sense. And I'm a huge fan of common sense winning.
Yes, you're right.
Huge fan of it.
That and putting out stakes so people know where to drive during the rain so there's never a
yes.
car path only.
Rain plans. I love them. Big fan of rain.
Having a rain plan. One that I apparently did not know this rule. I thought
hey,
they were
but
able to.
Backtrack. You know, tell you how I know that's even more, the rain plan is even more of a legit thing. We actually have a sod plan with the new course that
yeah.
we have entrances and exits that are programmed into the cart because we have new sodded areas that you can't drive on. So I know that you can go in there and program certain drive. You can, other than just the regular everyday deal, I know you can go in and custom edit those GPSs to have marked off areas. I know for a fact you can do it now. So
plus,
there you go.
Kyle thinks every course drains just automatically.
No, they don't drain automatically, but you know what? They do drain. They always drain in the same place because rain will always collect in the same place. True or false?
It's true. We're moving on past this. We're not
okay.
getting into
All
this.
Right, let's go.
This was not part of the rules discussion that we were discussing here. That's not a rule. That's just a crazy take that Kyle has that he wants to change the game of golf. I guess I didn't understand. I thought that you could already do this. Apparently you couldn't. One of the biggest changes comes in the area of equipment. In this new year, players will be allowed to replace a club that was damaged during a round for any reason except for anger or abuse. So what's his name that threw that putter about 150 yards into the woods? You can't replace that putter.
Paddle up.
That doesn't,
but if you hit one off like a cart path or something?
I thought they could already do that.
I don't think you could.
I thought because
– Not during the round.
Like because – okay, so Bubba busted his driver. And Ping was on site, and they brought him a new driver.
In the same round?
In a tournament, yeah.
In the same round.
I'm pretty sure. I must be wrong, because this is the new rule that you can now do that.
But was that is different? Is it different if it's caught, like, all right, for example, you bust your driver on a tee box. Is that the same as if you're hitting a punch out behind a tree and you break the shaft on the tree? Is that different? That was just like a freak thing with the driver. This is
yeah.
like you hit your shot into a bad spot and your next shot ended up with you breaking a club. Like, is there a difference in that? I don't know. I don't know.
There must be. I will say, when he did that to his driver, he still hit it over 300 yards, even though the driver had went like 120 yards.
Interesting.
But it said that, yeah, as long as you're not doing an anger or abuse, like you just said, I guess guys would they continue to play with a wedge if they like hit it with a rock and scuffed it up? I guess they just continue the round with it until
yeah, probably have
but now they can have somebody radio up to the truck, because they all got those tailor-made trucks and Titleist trucks that are out there
yep.
that have all their fitted
though,
equipment.
I wonder though. This seems like it could open up a bucket of,
yeah,
open up a Pandora's box,
it's,
because
it's, I think somebody like a Patrick Reed, which he's not on the PGA Tour anymore, but somebody like him, like they get into a questionable area, he may take a little deeper swing just to see if he can screw the club up.
Yeah, I should have hit my used my wedge that had the. It's gonna have to be where like the club has to come out in the exact same conditions it was already approved in. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
you can't change the bounce on your wedges, or you can't go from a 56 to a 58 or something like, I don't really know. Like you come out with your 8 iron, you come out with one that's like lofted way strong now, stronger than the other.
Right.
It seems like there could be a bunch of stuff that'd be opened up. Here's another thing. When you want to replace your ball, you have to have your playing partner approve it. So like surely you're going to have your playing partner sign off on.
Yeah, and it doesn't go into detail on that, on the changes. I guess we'll have to see that when it officially gets printed.
Like, are you going to get a little scuff on the bottom? You're like, hey, I need to get a new wedge. And then Patrick Reed's like, nah, you're just gonna have to play. Well, it wouldn't be Patrick Reed because he's on the live tour, but
Yeah.
somebody be like, nah, it's good. Jim Furyk did it. He's done it before where he wouldn't let you change balls. But like Jim Furyk's like, no, nope, looks good to me. Keep, go ahead and finish the hole. You know what I mean? Like, could it be? I don't know. This seems like you're trying to fix a rule, a problem that's not really there, but I could be wrong.
Well, that's the thing. You see this happen, what, maybe once around where a guy's got to hit out from behind a tree and bends a club or breaks the club as he on his follow through or something like that.
Yeah.
Other than that, this isn't like something that's common. So now that they can switch it out, is it going to be more common? Are they going to start doing stuff that they don't need to be
Sure.
doing because they know that they can
Oh, they're going to
replace
abuse
it?
the hell out of that. They're going to figure a way to game the hell out of that. Just get ready. There's
Mean,
no
because,
doubt.
their truck, if you're a TaylorMade guy, the truck's got
Just
three
get another
seven
one for
irons
the
sitting in
round.
it. It's got, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't, this is one that I don't like. I don't like this. I mean,
I don't
that's,
dislike it. I just don't think it was a problem. I don't think it
I
was an
don't think it was
issue.
a problem, but I mean, I don't know. It may make the game more exciting doing this because, as I just said, they're going to abuse, like you said, they're going to abuse the hell out of it because, those times that they've just taken a wedge and punched out to the center of the fairway to avoid disaster or to avoid busting up a club. Now they're like, oh, the hell with it. Give me that 4 iron. I'm going right through that hole right there. I'm gonna bounce it off this cart path. And if it scratches it up, I got one waiting on me at the green when I get up there.
Yeah, I don't know. Seems like just trying to fix a problem that's not there.
Yeah,
Anything?
because as we said, it happens once every,
Right.
and even though the PGA Tour and USGA, one of the other significant rules, and it's not really a rule of changes, even though they can't get their darn website and their app to work correctly, they are now going all digital. There will be no printed rule books anymore.
Nice.
Everybody has a phone on them. They're going to have a USGA rules app that you can go to. Let's hope it works better than the PGA Tour app. And you can, if there's a question in the round, either the rules official that's there can pull out his phone and look at it. The players have phones in their bags. They will be allowed, if the rules official doesn't have it, they can look it up, use the app, get the rule quantified, whatever, and then move on if they have any questions about certain rulings. So
I like that.
they're doing no rule books anymore. It's going to be on an app. So if you don't have your phone with you, or
Paperless. Let's go.
yes, going completely paid. There's a couple of others that they made as far as making some changes, but nothing.
Super
I don't,
significant.
yeah, nothing that,
Those are
and
all stuff we've talked about before.
also stuff that I didn't even know was a thing. They were talking about in stroke play. Now people like us amateurs don't have to indicate their handicap index on the card. I was like, I've never done it anyway. Kyle asked me what my handicap is currently, or he looks it up on the
Yeah.
pin. I don't write it down on the card. And they were like, you don't have to write it on the card anymore. I was like, yeah, bub, I hadn't written it on
We've
the
been
card
living a
ever.
lie. We've been living a lie. We have a dishonest golf life.
Again, like Kyle said, we go digital. You can look up that GIN number right now. I can look it up.
Yeah.
If he's lying to me, I can just look at it. I can see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of going digital, look,
Yes.
if you're gonna go dig get if you're gonna be serious about golf and you're gonna go digital and you're gonna get you a little range finder, there's no reason to spend $700, $600, $700 on a range finder anymore when you can get a Blue Tees range finder with all the features that you get from the Bushnells. For as a matter of fact, I sold my Bushnell. How about that? I had
Did
the
you?
Bushnell V3 Slope Edition, Tour Slope Edition. You know,
Nate
everything
would be
about it,
disappointed.
got rid of it. Got a Blue Tees. It's got toggle, and I couldn't even toggle my slope off on the Bushnell. I can toggle slope on or off.
Oh.
So if I'm playing in a tournament where it doesn't allow it, I can just flip it off. Don't have to have it. Buzz lock on, magnet on the side, sits nicely on the side of the cart. Even, you know, if you're like me and you're getting better at doing that, it sits right there. Easy to find. The fit is good. It's not gaudy, big. It's not too small. I mean, everything about it is great. Love them. And I love the price. Use coupon code DADBOD. Take 10% off an already incredibly low price. Get you a Blue Tees rangefinder. I think they may still have the all white one. They're going to do some Black Friday specials. So pay out, pay attention for those. Bluetooth speakers, all kind of stuff. Blue Tees is just where it's at. So go get
one of the college golfers had it, and she was using the magnet instead of sticking it like on her bag. She was sticking it
on the
on
iron.
On her iron as she was going down the
trick. You got to pay
I think
attention.
I think it was one of the Oregon players. I was like, that's a Blue Tees. You got a Blue Tees.
There you go. We did that when I caddied. I had the Bushnell one. It would fall. It fell off often. There was no doubt if we had one more round, I would have lost that sucker. So anyway, Blue Tees, that's where it's at. All right. So, last thing we're going to talk about, and this could take a little bit. So, we've finished the Live Tour season, and we've had basically an article come out of Golf Week where they essentially break down all the winnings of everybody, like what all they won cumulatively, and they compare that with their PGA Tour winnings or, you know, other players on the PGA Tour, and it's just so incredibly interesting. So I figure we go through the, you know, some of the big ones on the list and just, you know, talk it out. So obviously the big one is Dustin Johnson, who won essentially everything all year. On the Live Tour this year, in 8 events, he has won $35,637,000, $35.5 million in 8 events. On the PGA Tour, he in 15 years, he's earned just over double that in 15 years.
Yeah.
So if this holds true for next year, he will have come really close to matching his whole 15-year career in earnings. 35 and a half. Go ahead.
In 16 tournaments.
Well, they're going to play more next year, but still, 2 years. 2 years. The breaks down to $10.5 million in individual prize money, $7 million in team, and an $18 million bonus for winning the individual title. This is comparison. Okay. Scottie Scheffler led the PGA Tour money list this past year, $14 million in 25 events. So DJ nearly tripled that in one third of the tournaments.
That's crazy.
He nearly tripled, basically two and a half or one and a half time, two and a half times, the money in one third of the events on the PGA Tour. It's absolute, and at 38 years old.
That's the thing is he's 38. I told you that the guys that are really cashing in on this are the guys in that limbo period, which DJ's not. DJ still can compete on the PGA Tour. But those guys that are 35 plus, but they haven't hit that 50 championship year mark yet. And these guys are going and they're making more money in 8 events than they made in friggin' 15 years on tour.
Let's just say this. He did win the $18 million bonus. So that's not going to, that shouldn't happen every year. But you take that away and he still won $18 million. So if you take away the bonus, he still made more money than Scottie Scheffler in one third of the events.
He still made he averaged still $2.2 million an event. And there may be 3 tournaments on tour all year that have a $2 million purse.
That's just,
and he made it in 8 events. He made 2.2 it on average, 2.2 per event without the bonus.
Absolutely insane. Brandon Grace. Okay. Brandon Grace is, some you have to be a really hardcore golfer to know who Brandon Grace is, but he has been on the PGA Tour for 12 years and he's made about $1 million a year every year. So $12 million, 12.2 million in tour earnings in 12 years. He made 16.6 this year.
That's insane.
So
He made
12
more in
years.
eight events than he did in 12 years.
He made $4 million more this year in eight events than he did in 12 years on the PGA Tour. That's
biggest payday was $4 million. He won the Portland event, and his team, captained by Louis Oosthuizen, also they added another $2 million in prize money for the team, but they had to split that four ways, but still. That ain't a bad payday. So yeah, these are the type guys when they say, why would you give up the dream of the PGA Tour? Because he just made $4 million more in eight events than he made his entire career on tour.
Absolutely. And again, take the eight. He got an $8 million bonus for coming in second for the whole year. Okay. Take the $8 million away. Take that $8 million away for the bonus. Let's say he doesn't come in second next year. He still won $8 million, and his career earnings on the PGA Tour is 12. So he's three-fourths of the way to his whole PGA Tour career in 1 year if you take away that $8 million bonus. It's just – that's just unfreaking believable, the amount.
Yeah.
The amount. Next on the list, this one the next two really kind of blow my mind. Or the next one for sure, Peter Uihlein, okay? Not, I mean, let's just be honest. Peter Uihlein, I think he's gone back and forth from the PGA Tour to the Korn Ferry. He's just sort of always been a fringe guy right there on the line. It seems like all the time. Good player. His career earnings on the PGA Tour is $4 million in 10 years. Okay. That's a journeyman. It's a grinder. It's a great living, but still $4 million in 10 years. And on the Live Tour this year, he's tripled that, over tripled that, $12.8 million in eight events.
And it's going to get better because he joins the Four Aces next year.
Oh, the dynasty that keeps on.
Yes.
The dynasty will find a way and he'll keep going. Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. I'm going to skip Patrick Reed because nobody really cares. And plus he's made a ton of money. Taylor Gooch. Okay.
A guy that we talk about a lot. We liked him when he was on the PGA
Taylor.
Tour. Followed him. So,
Nate, big fan of Taylor Gooch.
Yep.
And he was just sort of budding. He's only 30 years old. I would say he's probably got the brightest future of the young guys. I would say that could maybe, other than Cam Smith, that would go like win, that could go win majors. Like, he's a really good player. $9 million in 6 years. It's not bad. It's a little over $1 million a year. He's won $10.3 million this year. So he's out-earned his six-year PGA Tour career in 1 year on the Live Tour.
And I'm assuming it was just a year before last when he, because that was when he kind of came on board and we knew who he was. You know, he never earned more than 3.8 on the tour in 1 year, and that was there towards, I mean, his first couple of years he probably earned less than $1 million, but he earned 3.8 1 year, and he's still, his best year on tour he made $3.8 million. In eight events this year he made $10 million. I mean, that's ridiculous.
That's absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. The everybody's favorite one to talk about is Pat Perez. Okay.
Yes.
Pat Perez, I didn't realize this. Pat Perez has been on the PGA Tour for 21 years. Okay. I don't know if it's just recently that he sort of budded, his personality sort of caught fire, but I didn't even really know who Pat Perez was until, I don't know if you remember the Big Break, maybe the one at Disney or the one, I don't know. His brother was on Big Break. Do you remember that?
I don't even remember that. I remember.
But he was he was basically on the show as he was Pat Perez's brother. I didn't even know who Pat Perez was at the time. This was many, many years ago. He's been on tour for 21 years and he's made $28 million. So, you know, that's pretty solid. A little over $1 million a year. Would love that. In eight events this year, playing like dog shit, he won $8 million. $8 million in eight events. So he went from winning just a little over $1 million a year to winning $1 million per event. Think about that. How many events did he play in those 21 years? I would say,
oh my gosh,
400.
He was a journeyman. Like he said, he was
20
trying to
plus a year.
He said he was trying to qualify for whatever he could possibly play in. Like he just wanted to make money. And And so that's why he's one that he got tired of grinding, man. This is perfect for him. And I
Yes.
love it because his quote, I love this. He said, "I just couldn't be happier." He said Sunday at the conclusion of the inaugural season. He said, "This is unbelievable."
He's
And
paid, so I guarantee you he played. Let's just do this math really quick. So he played at least somewhere between 20 and 25 events in 21 years. So let's just say that's, let's say conservatively, that's 500 events. Would you say that's a pretty conservative number that he
I'd
probably
say it's a
played?
very conservative number because now that we know who he is, and you and I mean, we don't hide the fact that we've listened to other podcasts that he's been on. And when he tells some of the stories about how he, played 50 events, 1 year because
Let's
he
just
was
say
just.
400 events. Let's say 400 events. Let's go really conservative.
Okay.
And four, so he's probably played 400 events at least over 21 years. That's $72,000 an event. It's not nothing to shake a stick at. $72,000 an event.
Right.
Having to play lights out because you got to keep your card. There's tons of pressure, whatever. He made $8 million an event this year. I mean, he made $1 million per event this year. $1
And he
million.
showed up, and he showed up at the end. He shot 2 under on the final day. That's it. He literally he had the best round of his entire live career the last day of the tournament.
How about this? This is great. This is great. He made $961,000 in individual prize money and $7 million in team money.
Yes. And look, was the life of the party when you would see social media when they were in the plane that time, when they
Yeah.
celebrated at the end, he was the number one guy that was having a good time. He knew. Like
Oh,
he's even
totally.
said people have asked, they're like, "Man, you game the system." He's like, "Hell yeah, I did. And I'm a lot richer for it. My wife loves me even more today than she did yesterday because of what I did." So
Love it.
good for him. I've always liked him. You were talking about you knew him from that until he started getting involved in podcasts and stuff. I knew his story from when he got kicked out of Arizona State. I didn't know the details until he actually went on Faherty one night and explained the reasoning behind getting kicked out of Arizona State.
Yeah.
And he basically wanted to fight his coach. So they were like, "Yeah,
Oh, wow.
you gotta
You got
go.
to go.
You gotta get off the team. You can't fight the head coach." And he
Love it.
actually, that was before text messaging. He got kicked off the team while he was in San Diego partying, and like his coach called him and said, "Just don't bother coming back."
That's great. That's absolutely great.
Like you've done enough. So his personality has been that way since he was 18, 19 years old.
Love it.
So,
I'm glad he's finally, getting the pub and he's getting to just chill, have fun, play golf and make money that he's earned from playing so many events and working so hard for 21 years. All right, last one, we'll get out of here. And this is the coolest one, I think. Eugenio Chikara, and I think the reason this is so cool is because it's a huge gamble. He was at Oklahoma State in the spring, following the end this spring, not like springs, many springs ago, like this past spring. After the NCAA tournament, he leaves college, joins the LIV Tour. He made essentially $7 million, $6.9 million, played in seven out of the eight events. One in Bangkok. So his PGA Tour earnings were zero. And then from getting finished with college, in 3 months, 3 or 4 months,
In 3 months,
$6.9 million.
he made $7 million in 3 months as a 22-year-old golfer. And that's what
That's what you call a recruiting tool. That is a recruiting tool.
it is because all these guys that are like, "Oh, they're just going for the money." Yeah, he's 22 years old. He just made $7 million. Hell
What
yeah,
are you
he's
going
going
to
for the
do?
money.
He's got PGA Tour University. He could have gone and played on the Korn Ferry Tour, and made and grinded
Here's
his
the
way to
thing.
hopefully make a check.
If he wants to do that grind, Kyle, he can do that. He's 20 friggin' 2 years old. If he wants to play on live for the next 6 years, if it lasts that long, and at the age of 28, 29, 30, he says, "You know what?"
Retire after making 50 million
And he says, "You know
minimum.
what? Now I'll go to Q school. How about that?" And he wants to fight that grind. It's a hell of a lot easier to fight it with $50 million in your pocket than it is having to beg for sponsors to help you get to this tournament or ride this train to this tournament or ride in the back of a plane down to Peru or something like that. I mean, he'll be able to fly privately wherever he wants to go and play.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm big fan of that. That's awesome. Very,
I
very, very proud of him.
hate to get on this kick, but since we're talking about money, and you and I have talked about this before, we need to make it a real thing where a lot of these other athletes and a lot of these other pundits quit judging people by how much money they make and how they make their money. Like, you know, it's none of your business how a guy gets when somebody, why are they paying him that much? That's none of your business.
Yeah.
That's
It's not bad to make money.
yeah.
I'm tired of hearing it. It's not a bad thing.
Exactly. I mean, Harold Varner said it best. He's like, I want generational money so my great grandkids don't have to work. That's why I'm here. Everybody's like, why would you say that? Well, because it's true. One.
It's 100% true.
Number two, it's none of your damn business the reason he wants to do it.
Nope. All right, we're gonna wrap it up here. I want to. This is one thing. I just think this is awesome. Russell Henley won this past weekend
Yes, he
at
did.
the Worldwide Technology Championship. Russell, Columbus, Georgia, right down the road from us. Big fans of him. I think he has three or four wins now. But a quote he had, I think it's an awesome. I think it's an awesome quote. After he won, he said that I don't see how it's possible that Tiger did this over 80 times, 80 something
Yeah.
times. He's and that just that I mean, and that's so true. Russell is a great player. He made it to Atlanta last year, and I think he's won his fourth win, four PGA Tour wins, and he's outrageous golfer.
Yeah.
Outrageous golfer. He's won four times, and Tiger won 82 times. Or he's
Yes.
won 82 times. Just shows you how freaking great Tiger Woods is, and everybody acknowledges it and everybody respects it. But anyway, I thought that was a really cool quote. Congratulations to Russell. Last thing before we go, weather's getting
Lori didn't like his trophy because I was watching it downstairs before I
the
came up.
chameleon.
They were showing the highlights of him
Yeah.
interviewing and showing that quote. And while he's up there, Lori's kind of halfway paying attention because she's watching her iPad and whatever, listening to podcasts that are not Dad by a Golf Pod. And
Yeah,
so she looks up and she goes, "What the hell is that on stage with him?" I was like, "That's his trophy."
it's
She
a
goes,
trophy.
"Why is it so ugly?" And I was like, "That's not ugly. That thing looks awesome.
It
I'd
is
love to
kind of
have that in
cool.
the
It is
house."
kind of cool. The chameleon trophy.
Yeah.
All right. Weather's getting a little cooler. You know what
Yes.
that means? It means it's jogger season. Especially here, because that it's cool, but it's not cool enough to start wearing like fully long pants. So we're going joggers. Primo Golf Apparel.
Long
You
pants.
guys, if you want to look good and you want to feel good, you need to try these things out. The material is fantastic. The look is great. You got the length options that you can customize, or not really customize, the length options that you can dial in how you want them to sit on the calves. I like the shorts. I go 34 short. That's me. 34 short. I want calves blazing. So get ahead of the curve. Check out their amazing selection. They got like 10 different colors. Materials great, fits superb, and there's definitely gonna turn heads. It's definitely gonna be something that you're gonna get some conversation started. You could take 15% off your order using Dad Pod 15. Take 15% off your order. So
Dad pod with a P, dad
love those
pod.
guys. Love the Primo joggers. Hopefully I'm wearing some where we're going to play this weekend. We may be going to play. We can't talk about yet. So really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Check us back later in the week. We'll be back again. So thanks, Ben. Episode
Yeah, man.
244 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod, and we're always
Always
stroking.
looking.
You've been listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod, always stroking.